like?
Yeah, talk about stepping back behind the chair. And when people come up to me and ask me, what the fuck do you do all day? And I'm I actually don't know.
I'm going to be so transparent, dead serious here. There was certainly a period of time when I stepped back from behind the chair and I was like twiddling my thumbs in the office. Like, yeah. Why did I do this again? Because I should be out there accommodating my guest and making money. And
yeah, because it's not your element, office. Your element was on the floor.
That was a reality for me. And I think that there's value to kind of share that because I think a lot of salon owners, a goal for some of them is to get back get out of being behind the chair. And for some people, it's almost like a necessary piece to scale their business, but they're just not doing it.
Well, yeah. I think the big question is how do you know it's time? So for both of you, I'm going to ask you both, was this like something when you guys decided to step back from behind the chair, was this something that like it was a long time coming or was this just like an all of a sudden like, all right, I'm done. I need to like an immediate kind of thing.
It was gradual for me.
Gradual?
Yeah.
Leisha, what about you?
Same. I don't think it was the end goal for me was to not do hair at all. It just kind of like happened that way, I guess.
Yeah, did you ever think, like, you would still be in this industry and not doing hair?
No.
No. Like, when I go back to 2014 when we opened, no, I didn't really see a future where I would not be behind the chair. I just felt like that was what was driving me.
Well, and what were some of the things that were making you think, like, all right, I need more time, like, in the office and not on the floor?
Well, I think the initial thought happened at a coaching session with Kirsten, and she basically was like, well, it sounds to me like you need some time to spend working on your business, not in your business. So let's take a look at your schedule. Let's look at the numbers and see what makes sense. And then she ran all of her reports and did the Kirsten thing, which we love. Mm-hmm. But basically it was like, okay, so good news. Your business is going to survive without you. And at that moment I was like, like, they don't need me. Like, I'm not bringing that much to the table. That's how I felt. I was like, what the fuck? Like,
loser.
Yeah, no. I was pissed. But no. But she really put it into perspective in a way that she was like, listen, like, you're bringing value to your clients, but you need to bring value to your team. And to do that, you need to step back. So that was the first time I thought about it. And I don't think in that moment did I do it, but I know it was not long after that I started to pull back. And I went from, let's say, 5 days behind the chair to 4, and then to 3, then to 2. Then I started having babies. Then I think it was 1 day a week. I think I was Tuesdays from 8 to 2, which was such a dream. Loved that. And then eventually I did stop. And yeah, that's how it worked for me.
I think being behind the chair and being a salon owner is sustainable to a certain point. Like, once you build your team to the point where you have, like, I don't know, 8 stylists and you're kind of like liable for like their success is kind of where you're like, okay, like, I need to start coaching and supporting them and growing them rather than like solely focusing on, you know, my clientele and my business and my income. I think it got to a certain point for me where I kind of just felt like overwhelmed, where like I wanted to help the team and I wanted to be there for them for like situations that they were going through or whatever the case. And I couldn't because I was stuck behind the chair and like by the time I was done with my day, like I had to go home. So I think there comes a point in your career as a salon owner where you like kind of feel like this pull where your team needs you. And, you know, it doesn't have to be something that happens like instantly. And we could talk about like what the transition might look like for somebody who's interested in doing it.
Real quick though, was there any fears of yours, like cutting back your days behind a chair? Did you guys like go into this with like, oh God, I'm going to have regret? Or did you have any fears or challenges that you faced?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
What were they?
Big time.
There were a lot.
Well, the relatability with the team is one.
Yeah.
Your clients, you know, you're going to get pushback from them. Like, you're the owner, you've done their hair for, you know, X amount of years. And then,
I mean, I still get texts from Tina McCune. regularly, like giving me shit that I am no longer behind the chair. So that definitely.
And I love it because she'll text both of us. So I get to see this conversation and it's freaking hilarious.
And like, not only that, though, like
she feels so jaded. Like she definitely feels like you, like it's a bad relationship and you just dumped her and she has no say in it.
Yeah.
That's how she feels. Mm-hmm. It's so sad.
But you've trained your whole life to be a good hairstylist. You know nothing about like leading a team. So I feel like that transition is super hard because you go from like going in the salon and doing everything that you've been told and taught to do to now like having to do something completely different. And like, you're not going to be great at it at first, but it's going to take time and you got to be patient.
For sure. It's a process. And I think that when I decided to do that, luckily for us at the time, we did have some good leadership on the floor. Like mm-hmm. I was stepping back, but there were people out there that I knew were still going to be the eyes and ears and to be able to help. We had a good manager at the time. But I think that when I did step back, the company felt it in a negative way. And I think with you stepping back with Wayne, we had more control. We saw mm-hmm. some of the problems that happened when I stepped back and we were able to get ahead of them with Wayne. Ours was just basically, I feel like between you and I and always being in the office and not present on the floor, there was a point where we weren't aware enough of what was happening out there. Yeah. And the team didn't like that because they were used to me being out there 40 to 50 hours a week. And every single thing, whether it was small or big, was on my radar. I was aware of the conversations that were happening. Dress if there was code. Leaves falling in the front door, if
yep.
there was hair piles anywhere, if dress code was off, if someone's hair wasn't done, if a client left, and I could feel it. I knew everything. So pulling myself out of that, there was definitely a shift in the culture and the team and everything that kind of happened. There was a dynamic change that wasn't positive.
Yeah, and I get that. I mean, I feel like teams love when you're out there like fighting along with them or like then in the back, like behind the scenes, just calling the shots. Mm-hmm. Like they just have that like respect for you. What?
Fighting along with them. We ride at dawn.
Well, no. Well, hold on. My first thought, I'm not kidding. You want to know what I was just thinking?
What?
Like I used to hate when I would go to spin class. And I would be dying on the bike and the girls like just walking around still looking pretty and just barking commands telling us to do this. And I'm like, no, get on the bike in front of us and ride with us. Like, and I used to have so much respect for the ones that did like because yeah, they'd so be funny. Out there out of breath telling you what to do. And it was just like, all right, like we're a unit, you know, but instead of the ones just like walking in and out like,
yeah.
hey, you know, and their lipstick still on. And it's just like there's definitely some kind of.
Yeah.
camaraderie there.
So I guess I get it. Step one would be like find your leadership people on the floor.
Yep. And a big thing that I think I wasn't even aware I needed to do when I stepped back from behind the chair and I kind of shifted into the office, I like completely disappeared off the floor. Like I really rarely was out there. And now I try to make it a point to get out there a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know, like mm-hmm. I go the long way to go through the salon to go to Starbucks. I walk up front to talk to Lexi about something. I walk out on the floor. Like I'm constantly like going that way. So at least I'm like out floating around. I talk to a ton of clients. Like now I'm out there all the time and I'm able to talk to clients. If I see people in the schedule, I'm out there chatting with them. That has shifted. Whereas before I wasn't doing that. And I can't say I think it was innocent. I didn't know I needed to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought that it wasn't a big deal until I realized that how big of a deal it was.
Well, and without that's just the presence. It. Like you have so much going on in the office too. And it's mm-hmm. like, God, you're being pulled. You have so many things you're trying to accomplish in there, but then you're still trying to stay connected with your team and connected with the clients. Yeah. So it's important.
I do feel like a leader, another person, a manager, front desk associate, having somebody that can look at the things that you're used to looking at that mm-hmm. most people don't. I feel like oftentimes within the salons, everybody's in their own, you know, tunnel vision. They're with their client. They're doing their thing. They're not worried about everybody else until you're an owner. And then when you're an owner, you're worried about every single detail, whether it's small or big.
Like just the other day, I was getting my hair done and one of the stylists came up. And like, and I was staring at the coat closet being open, mm-hmm. and I'm like, And then finally, like, one of the stylists came up and closed it, and I, like, grabbed it. I was like, thank you so much.
I texted you yesterday a picture. I got a shampoo yesterday, and I'm looking at the ceiling tile, and I'm like, this is so gross. Like, how come no one has come to me and been like...
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true. You pick up on things out there.
So I do think it's important if you do step back or if you scale back your schedule just to still be present on the floor or at least have somebody that can be the eyes and ears and a team that is going to tell you if there's something going on.
Another important thing I think is the why. Like, so are you wanting to step back so that you can work on the business, not just like run down to like TJ Maxx and go shopping on a shopping spree? Like,
it's so true.
Like, if you're bringing so much value, like in revenue as a, like as a stylist, like what are you going to be doing that's going to match that?
Mm-hmm.
But like behind the scenes. So like, are you going to be working on marketing to like get more butts in the salon, or are you going to be, you know, working on like a new website? Like, so I think finding the why and like what's going to replace your time at the salon is super important too.
Agreed. 100%. I feel like optimization in general
with
that is very important. And that's an ongoing thing. You know, like I said, that when I did step back, I felt like I was twiddling my thumbs. Like, I didn't know what to do. This was a new role for me. What am I supposed to be doing back here? You handled so much at that time that I was just like, I don't know if this was the right decision or not. And I do think that having a clear plan in place and identifying the areas of your business that you can spend time in that are actually going to move the needle is so important.
I think for us, though, excuse me, we have so many like positions within the salon, like just like you as a stylist. And then coming back and saying like, you're not sure what you would do because like I handle so much, but like the stuff that I handle, that's like administrative, like it was, you know, insurances, accounts payable, stuff like that, receivables. But I think there's a whole other element to being a salon owner aside from the books and the numbers. And that's like growing your people and mentoring. And that in itself is a full-time job.
Yeah.
And we got to that point where we needed that. Like we couldn't be on the floor and then find time to just meet with everybody and go through like Karen that much. Like, I think that you needed to step back. It was the right time for us.
Yeah.
Ted, you had a strong opinion on us stepping back behind the chair. Do you want to talk about why?
That is true. And like, there's definitely been times where like situations will come up and it would be like, I would talk to Monica about something and I would say, should I just handle this like with someone or so-and-so or the team? And like, I would have her telling me like, no, you know what? Let me do it because they relate to me more than they're going to relate to you. And that did serve really well because it, you know, there are times where like, I don't want to look like I'm above. Like we present our team as like we're a unit. Like without you, I'm nothing, and without me, you're nothing. And that's the truth of the fact of the matter. I feel like with our salons, it's like we all need each other. But in that moment, like certain circumstances, I think it was better for them to be approached by like a stylist, someone they can relate to. Like it was almost like a peer that they're on the same level.
Yeah.
So that scared me a little bit because then I'm like, now they're going to look at us as like we're different than them and it's going to segregate like the company. And I didn't want that. Like I just wanted us to be one and the same.
Yeah.
And Monica kind of was like that bridge between me and them.
Yeah.
And
there's so much value behind what you're saying. And to be honest, I don't think that we would have even been able to notice that that was a thing, except you were able to see that and feel that because you weren't with us in the trenches doing hair,
right?
You know, so I feel like
I don't know what it's like to stand on my feet for 12 hours and have to talk to 13 clients and listen to, you know, I don't know what that's like. And then you're gonna have me come in and be like, oh, and by the way, like we need you to do this, or you know, it just didn't seem right for me. It just wasn't my place, but it was definitely something that needed to be addressed, and it just came off a lot softer from Monica than from me.
That's interesting. And I get that. Like now that we're talking through it, like I totally understand why your concerns were there, and it makes a lot of sense. And even now, you know, I think that with the employees that are with us now, there's a lot of them that have never even experienced me on the floor. So they don't know what it was like when I was there on the floor every single day.
Can you remember back to the meeting we had, it was actually, we had a meeting with a few girls, and you remember this, Leash. And it was when they came to us, and they were, I think it was right around the time that you had stopped being on the floor, and they were like, mm-hmm. we want you to call us out for our dress code and stuff like that. Do you remember though? They said, cause like I said, like, well, I could say this, but they basically were, they all even agreed, like, no, it's not going to feel the same way if it's coming from you than if it came from on. And mm-hmm. and it's because they were just used to her from day one, mm-hmm. and then they weren't having her out there.
Used to the hammer.
They were. Like, they were used to that from day one with her, yeah. and then now it's, like, not there, and then I'm going to jump in and do it. Like, it just didn't have the same effect. So yeah, I recognize that. You did, too. And
yeah. And that was interesting because I feel like, you know, as a leader and growing and having no idea what I was doing as a leader and being young, I was 26 years old when we opened. I look back and I'm like, wow, you were so bad at leading. Like, you were so bad. You know, I think about that, but I don't think I was. I think that the way I led was maybe not how I would do things now, but it's funny because I still run into these people and they're like, oh, you know, remember when you did this or you said this or you handled this situation. And I feel like I was worried about how we were leading, but they weren't. Like, they wanted it. They mm-hmm. wanted somebody to be there to tell them when things weren't happening properly or things were, yeah, you know, being called out.
You helped shape them.
Yeah. And that was interesting. But for me, I'm like, oh, they don't give a shit if I'm on the floor or not. But they did. Yeah. You know, it did make a difference. So
yeah, it's definitely scary when you come to that crossroad where, like, you got to pull back a little bit or pull back completely. and it's scary for everyone. Like, you, for the other stylists that you're working with. Like, for me, I was scared to death because now I'm like, oh, God. Now we don't have that bridge of communication that is just a softer blow than it would be coming from the office, you know?
Yeah. I feel like we... Like, a way that we've overcome that, though, is, like, just we have the time to, like, actually, like, communicate and care for our team. You know, like, I think if you're, like, a stylist, yes, you're on the floor and you're, like, being seen, but you're not, like, making connections with the team because you really don't have the time. So I feel like that's kind of how we've overcome that.
I think a key element into this whole thing, too, is the fact that we spend so much time in the salons.
Yeah.
Like, if we were owners that were outside of the salon the majority of the time and then just stop in and then just, like, address issues, like, that sucks. But the fact that we're there, like, they still feel like we're all one because we do spend so much time there. And, like, I make it a point, like, even though I'm in the office, I'm not out on the floor, I make it a point any chance I can to go sit in the break room and, like, chit chat and connect and talk about everything in life. And because if I didn't, I would just be that boss sitting in the office.
Yeah.
And that's not what I want to ever have.
Yeah.
So true. Now, for anybody out there, and I know that there's a lot of salon owners or even salons or stylists that, you know, pursue that. They want to be at some point on the back end, not out on the floor. I mean, we have Dana involved as well now, and we know that at some point she's going to have to do that. Mm-hmm. What are the things that we are paying attention to or that we would recommend paying attention to before actually making that decision?
For her?
For anyone. You
I
know?
Think she has to really be ready. She's got to be ready. I mean, think about it. This is her whole life. She, hair. I mean, you guys know this. That's all you know at that point, you know? This whole becoming a owner is new to her. She's still learning that. And until she's like... there and 100% comfortable and ready to give up like everything that she's known and worked for, like in the sense of a stylist, like think about it, all the time and effort and education that she has put in and relationships, she's kind of going to be giving them up, you know, to take a shift in a different direction in the salon. And it's awesome that she gets to stay in the salon and do it, but it's a completely different position. So I think until she's 100% ready, we really can't push that on anybody.
Well, for another company also, like just to say anybody out there that was looking to do it, there's a few things that I think we would recommend paying attention to. One is obviously having a manager or a front desk or somebody else who can kind of be the eyes and ears when you're not there. That's number one. But number two is finding a way to make up for the income that your company would be losing by you stepping back. And for us, it's always... You know, we kind of look at, okay, so if you're going to scale back, let's say Alicia in 2019 is going to pull back one day, what we do is we typically look at the amount of money that that is worth Mm-hmm. And then we try to figure out how we're going to make that up. And usually that's by, we have this apprentice that's going to go on as a level one, or maybe this is two apprentices that are going on as level ones. So that money will essentially be made up because we're going to have two new stylists on.
Yeah. So timing's everything. You can't just pull back and just, you know.
Yeah. You also, you just need to know, you need to be very familiar with your company, your business in general, the financials, and what directions you can go to make sure that you're not, you know, pulling too much away and too soon. I couldn't imagine a scenario where you scale back completely. Like, May 1st, I'm done. I'm out. Done doing hair. I'm going into the office now. Like, I would never recommend that. I think a gradual process is always the way to go.
It was a transition for us, right? Like, was like we dropped one day and then that was like our office day in the salon.
I can remember. So it was after I had Amelia. That was my goal. I'm going to have Amelia and then I'm going to step back. I'm just going to be done. And then COVID happened and I was like, fuck that. I'm on the trenches. I am in here with these girls. Like, there's no way I'm leaving them right now. And although it was just like one shift, I think it was, but it was great, you know, like, because that's a moment where I couldn't have imagined. Mm-mm. I don't know how you lead a team through something like that without being a part of that. Mm. I mean, did you feel that way?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I don't think it was that baby, though.
Was it?
Alana?
Maybe.
I think so.
A baby. It was just a baby. It's one of those babies.
Yeah. But that was like the plan, I think, for both of us. And then we were like, yeah, that's not happening.
Yeah. Never mind.
But yeah, so on the flip side, I think it's important to recognize the stylist slash owner that doesn't want to give up doing hair. And not, sometimes that's not the case. They don't have to. Like, there's definitely another vision that they're going to run their business and still do hair. And I think that's okay too.
Yeah. I feel like every salon owner that we've ever met that has a successful salon has another person that does the stuff behind the scenes.
Like a bookkeeper. Mm-hmm.
So I feel like having somebody that's going to do all of the coaching, or, you know, identifying that you can't do it all and maybe like splitting up your time between behind the chair and coaching your team. Which is also fine too.
Yeah, and that's so important too, to be able to like find that balance, because if you are going to stay behind the chair, then you have to give up something. And
right.
Like you said, it might be coaching your team or doing your book. So you definitely need help.
Well, you know, while we're talking about this, the person that's coming to mind is Daniel Mason Jones. He is still so active behind the chair and in his salon and his clientele. Like, it's such a part of him that every time he talks or, you know, everything that he does, it's always focused around his team and his clients.
Yes.
It's not the business. Like, the business isn't what's...
No, Jody is the driving factor. He's that flame for the business, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. But I also... What Daniel does behind the chair and how much revenue he's actually creating for his businesses. Yeah. And I'm not saying that's why he's staying behind the chair. I think it goes so much deeper beyond that. But he's an example of someone who, I don't know if I were in Daniel Mason Jones' shoes, if I would step back either.
Yeah.
Like, that is quite a financial situation to step away from.
Yeah.
And I think there's probably a lot of stylists out there today. I mean, with the extension services and these high ticket services, like, you know, it doesn't have to be the type of thing where you do step back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can definitely find balance and, you know, maybe pay somebody to help offset it and still allow you to be behind the chair to pursue that, because that money's not like, I mean, sure, it's made up somewhere, but when you're talking about that type of financial income, I can see why people would be discouraged to step away. And
yeah,
I think that's totally cool.
Like, I agree with that. I feel like Daniel's unique in the sense that his value is not only the business side, but his value is his employees, well, his team and his clients. Mm-hmm. Like, that's where I think he brings the most value.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, like, you got to be happy. Like, if you're not going to be happy, like, implementing like systems and processes and like being on your laptop and like, you know, creating documents, which I feel like we're like super oddly passionate about, like, it's worked for us. Like, I never thought I'd say that out loud, but you know, if that's not your thing and you're miserable
yeah.
when you step back, then maybe you're just not that type of salon owner. And that's okay too.
Totally cool. Yeah. And that's what I think this episode, the focus is. And I hope, you know, I hope that we were able to identify the emotional piece of it, because it is emotional.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's so much emotion that goes behind that decision. You know, like you said, Heather, about someone who's invested so much time and energy and money into perfecting their craft and then to walk away from it. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a really big deal. And it doesn't need to be black and white. Like, it just doesn't need to be, oh, I'm either a stylist or I'm not. Like, there's a gray area there. And I think that's probably the area where a lot of people find that balance and that comfort.
Maybe we've impacted your decision on stepping back behind the chair, or maybe not. Mm-hmm. But
share any comments, questions. We'd love to ask. Maybe this is something that we need to do a follow-up on. But yeah. It's cool. It's a good topic.
And don't forget to like and subscribe.